curse can be a blessing. But the funny thing is, Galatians actually tells us that. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And I wish I'd had time to expound on that, but I won't tonight, maybe in a future lesson. But if you remember last time, I was explaining the origin of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And I said that really symbolically, the tree of life is really Jesus, right? Because the seed is the word, and the word planted symbolically when Jesus died came up as a tree of life. So the origin then of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is obviously Satan. But is there any other scriptures that prove that? You know, I said it and I showed a few little things. I showed the scripture that says every tree that is planted that my Father hath not planted will be plucked up. But is there any more direct scriptures? Does anyone know of any more direct scriptures? Okay, well, let me show you these scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 5. And it's speaking allegorically, and the Bible always has a two-part meaning. It's speaking really to Pharaoh, but it's also speaking to the power that was behind Pharaoh. Just as how in Isaiah and in Ezekiel, it's speaking about the king of Babylon, but when you read down further, you really realize that it's also speaking to the power behind the king of Babylon. Ezekiel 31, verse 5, tells us something kind of remarkable about the Garden of Eden. Speaking about this particular tree, it says, therefore his height was exalted above all trees of the field, and his boughs were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. The fowls of heaven made their nests in his boughs, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under his shadow dwell all great nations. Thus was he fair in his greatness, in the length of his branches, for his root was by great waters. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Because when we go to Ezekiel in 28, when it's describing Satan, it's speaking about how he was so beautiful and how he was so prideful. And now here, symbolically, it's speaking about this particular tree that was in the garden. That was in the garden. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height. Doesn't that sound like pride he's speaking about? And he hath shut up his top among the thick boughs, and his heart is lifted up in his height. And it goes on. I'm going to just jump down if you really want to read the whole chapter. It's got a dual meaning. It's speaking about Pharaoh, but it likens him to this tree. Now, Pharaoh was the head of Egypt, which was one of the world-ruling powers at that time. Right? Now, remember what Satan said to Jesus in Luke. All the kingdoms will I give. So I know who's really in charge, or was in charge, let's put it that way. It was Satan. And again, if you read this very carefully, it's got a double meaning. I'm just going to jump to verse 18 because it gives the result. To whom art thou thus like in glory and greatness among the trees of Eden? Yet shalt thou be brought down with the trees of Eden unto the neither parts of the earth. Thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that be slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord. Now, if you read through there, there's another scripture. I think it's Ezekiel 31:16. If someone could get that one for me, I should have put it in here. Ezekiel 31:16, where it says that he's going to be brought down to hell. So you can see from that, when you start to put all the scriptures together, what I'm saying about the origin of a particular tree that's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do you have Ezekiel 31:16? Interesting. So really this is a holdover from last time, but I thought I should give you some more scriptures to show what I was saying about the origin of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now it's not revealed. It's not plain. In fact, when Jesus told the four parables in Matthew 13, the one with the sower and the tares was the one they couldn't get. And they said, could you explain that one? And he says, the reason why, it says, this mystery is not given to everybody. It says, but it's to those who are in the kingdom. So the mystery is not totally revealed unless you are getting into the kingdom. So I just wanted to give those scriptures from last time to show you that there are other scriptures that give the hint as to the origin of the tree and what its prophesied end will be. But this week we're going to focus on the curse that was a blessing. And so we're going to go into the perfection of God. And of course, the Bible tells us that God is a perfect being. And a perfect being can only do perfect things. Otherwise, he wouldn't be perfect. You know, from our perspective, that might be the only weakness God has. He can only do good. He can only do good. A perfect being can only create perfect things. Psalms 18, verse 30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. So, you know, one of my favorite sayings is that every time God said, let there be, it was so. But more than that, the very words of God created a law. The very words of God created a law. And what I just said is every time God speaks, all he can do is perfection. So that's why I call this whole series the laws of perfection, because every time God said, let there be, it created a law of perfection. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That goes back to the message I preached a week before, where Jesus said he only does what he sees the Father do. Right? And that's spiritual. So every time God said, let there be, he was creating a law that did something. And that law was to perfect the universe. So I divided all, he says 10 times in Genesis, let there be, or there's 10 creative times in Genesis. And you can divide those 10 laws into three categories. One that orders the physical, because in Genesis 1 it says the earth was without form and void. It was just a mass. Matter was just a mass. And so every time God spoke a law, he brought order. So there was the physical, and then he spoke some biological laws, and then of course he spoke some spiritual laws. And the spiritual has power over the sentient or intelligent life. So the physical laws have power over the material, the biological over anything that is organic or grows, but the spiritual has only power over those beings that are sentient. That means they are intelligent. Psalms 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And of course, we find in Revelation what I call the sevenfold declaration, because every time God said something and it happened, then of course the declaration was, it was so, but not only that, it was good. Meaning that what he said had come to pass. The light was good, Genesis 1:4. The earth and the seas were good, Genesis 1:10. The plants were good, Genesis 1:12. The lights were good, that's the creation of the sun and moon, Genesis 1:18. The fish and the birds were good, Genesis 1:21. The land animals were good, Genesis 1:25. And then, of course, Genesis 1:31. The whole creation was very good. So at the end of Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, the universe had been perfected. The universe had been totally perfected. But what that means, though, is that the laws had nothing more to do. But the laws did not disappear. You know, if you have a weight and you put it on a spring and you let it go, for a while the spring will go up and down, right? But finally, the spring will stay at a point. But there's still a force in that spring. There's a tension, even though you can't see it moving. There's a force. And if you put a 10-pound weight, the spring is pulling back with how many pounds? 10 pounds, because it is exactly balancing the weight of the weight. So that doesn't mean there's no force just because you see nothing moving. So the laws that God created, once they had finished their creative work, they didn't disappear. They were still there because their job was to bring perfection. So they were the laws that brought order. Because remember, Genesis 1:1, it says the universe was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. So the seven declarations brought order. They were declared good because they accomplished their desired object. The Bible says that the word, when it goes forth, is going to accomplish whatever I've said. That's why it's so great when you can get God to speak a word, Sister Mary. Well, there was nothing imperfect, so it was like a spring that had come to a rest. The force of the spring was still there, but there was no more movement because there was nothing imperfect. Everything was perfect. The laws that God created, their job was to make things perfect. The earth, the seas, the land, the sun and the moon, the stars, the fish and the birds, and then finally mankind. And so when it was all done, that's why on the seventh day, it says that God what? Rested, because there was no more. You know, perfection is just one state. You know, when I always tell my wife, and this is annoys her, you know, she'll come in and she'll say, "Why is the place in a mess?" And I have a scientific answer for her. And I say, entropy. Now, she knows what that means because I've told her what it means. But it's a scientific word for chaos, because her definition of perfection is only one possibility. Now, all the cushions lined up like this, the countertop all cleared off, the bed made, the towels all folded, the place swept, the chairs under the table, the flowers up there, and the curtains, you know. That's only one state. So if I come in and I happen to open the fridge and take out a drink and leave it on the countertop, it's a mess. Because it's now no longer perfect. Now, it could be just one thing, and usually it is just one thing. She'll come in and say, "Oh, the place is a mess." And I'm looking like, you know, like, really? And she'll make the mistake of saying, "Why is it a mess?" She wants me to say I did it. I'll say entropy. Because, you see, it's impossible to stay at perfection unless you're just going to do nothing. That's why God had to do what? Rest. There was nothing more he could do. So the moment you start to live in a perfectly clean, ordered house, the moment you do anything, it's no longer perfect. Right? The moment you open a drawer, take out a fork and, you know, cut a piece of cake, there's a dirty fork, there's a dirty knife, there's some milk, there's a glass, and it's a mess. So I can say that now because she's not here. Now, I know one of you guys will tell her, "Pastor was talking about you." Amen. I shouldn't be laughing because I listened to myself on the thing and it's terrible. So we'll have to edit this. Okay. So at the end of the sixth day, the forces were in balance. They hadn't disappeared, and this is the important thing. They hadn't disappeared. They were all still there, the spiritual, the physical, and the biological. And so there was nothing more for them to do. God had to rest. So at the end of the sixth day, new creative acts by the laws ceased, but the laws and forces did not cease because everything was perfect. You can't make perfect more perfect, can you? Because the moment you do anything to perfection, guess what? It's not perfect anymore. You've changed something. So now I want to give you an analogy that really opened my eyes to this whole thing. When I told you I got this when I was driving down, and I was thinking about the body Now, the body is made up of cells. And the number of cells is quite amazing. It's 100 trillion. That's 100 with, I think, 12 zeros. I think a billion is 9 zeros, right? Okay, so a trillion is 12 zeros, so it's 100 trillion cells. 100 trillion cells. So the interesting thing about each cell is that it's unique to the body. Those 100 trillion cells, my 100 trillion cells, are all unique for my body. That's why when they try and do transplants, there's problems. Because the other body does not recognize those cells. See? And the scripture speaks about, okay, I've got 40 trillion. I think there's 100 trillion, so. But of those 40 trillion cells, there's several hundred different kinds. There's several hundred different types of cells. Can anyone name some? Very important one. Blood cell. White blood cells, that's a type of blood cells. Skin cells. Do you know you lose millions of skin cells every day? Every day, we don't realize it. Of course, there's hair. There's just several hundred different types of cells. But all of them are unique to your particular body. And the reason is that each cell, every single cell, to be part of the body, has a covering. And those of you who took high school biology, all right. Okay. So every single cell has a covering, and the covering is called a membrane. A membrane. And it is the membrane, the outside of the cell, which makes it recognizable to the body. So the cell has a biological skin that is unique to your body. It's got all these molecules on the outside that form a particular pattern that is unique to your body. That's why if they take a liver transplant and put it in someone else, immediately that person's body starts to reject that transplant because it doesn't recognize the cells. And the way it does it is that in the blood, there are special cells called white blood cells, which are part of the immune system, and they go up to every single cell they bump into, and they kind of feel the covering. And if the covering doesn't match, they start to destroy it because they know it's an invader. And so that's how the body, your immune system, or one of the steps in the immune system that works against infections, because on your skin, in every square centimeter, I read that there is about 500,000 foreign bacteria, even now, right now. If that doesn't creep you out. But right on your skin right now, everybody, there is 500,000 bacterial cells per square inch. But yet, yeah, per square inch. But you see, your skin, your outer skin, forms the first stage in the protection. And then if they get inside a cut, then the white blood cells come up and they kind of touch them and decide whether they are part of the body. Corinthians 12:2 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." It's funny, we're all different, but in Christ, we're part of the church, which is the body of Christ. And it's funny how God used this analogy to teach us a lesson. So the cell is a member of the body, but all of the cells, even though they're different function, they have the same covering or type of covering so that the body recognizes them. Now, if the covering gets damaged or if a cell gets damaged and the white blood cell comes along and doesn't recognize it, it's destroyed. It loses its covering. It's funny the way God has created things. Nearly every single thing that he has created is created with a covering. What's the earth's covering? Remember in Genesis, he said what? He separated the waters from below that were above, right? He separated the waters. When they look at the planet Venus, they can't see the surface of the planet Venus because it has a covering. And as they've gone through every single planet, they found out that at some point, all of these planets had a covering. I was just looking at the latest discoveries. They sent us a spacecraft to Pluto, and they found out it has an atmosphere. It has a covering. And the planets that have lost their coverings are the ones where they get beat up by asteroids and meteorites, because the Earth's covering protects it. When a meteorite comes in, you know what happens to it when it starts to hit the atmosphere? It starts to disintegrate. If there was no atmosphere, it'd be like the moon. It would come all the way down. So we have a covering. We have several coverings. We have the atmospheric covering, and even greater than that, we have a magnetic covering. And if it wasn't for that magnetic covering, we'd all die from the radiation from the sun. So God has provided, there's a symbology that nearly everything God has created, he's created with a covering to be in unity with him. So let's look a little bit more. So part of the covering came from the biological laws. Go ahead. Well, I think that there is something to that. I think the covering is necessary for us to be in communion with him. The covering is mainly for us. The covering is mainly for us. So the white blood cells fight infection by destroying anything that is foreign to the body, including a cell that is actually part of the body. A cancer cell now is actually part of the body, but the problem with a cancer cell is it started to grow and grow and grow uncontrollably. And sometimes, because it's part of the body, the white blood cells don't know what to do with it, because it comes up and it recognizes that it's part of the body. And so that's the problem. So one of the ways they're trying to fight cancer is by tagging some of the cancerous cells with some kind of foreign substance, so that when the white blood cells come up to it, they'll start attacking it as being foreign. That's one of the ways they're investigating to try and treat cancer, is to try and make the cancerous cells look foreign so that the immune system itself will destroy the cancer. And that's one of the treatments, things that they have been developing. But of course, that has to be unique for each person. Okay, let's go on. So the cells use the cell covering to recognize member of cells from foreign bacteria or viruses. And the name of the cell that does is called a macrophage. This is an interesting Bible study tonight, biology Bible study. And it eats and it surrounds the foreign cells and destroys them. And actually, it takes them to a certain place in your body. And I know this is going to kind of get gross. But when we have a go to the bathroom for number two, a good portion of what's being coming out is actually dead cells that have been destroyed and ripped apart. That's what a lot of that is. So the white blood cells fight infection by destroying anything that is foreign to the body. Do you understand that that's part of the biological law that God created? So the cells use the covering to recognize. Now, the last time I taught this, I actually had a film. That white thing there is a white blood cell, and I couldn't get it to work this time, but it surrounds the bacteria and then engulfs it, and it takes it away to a special place to be destroyed. Anyone remember? Well, that's where it ends up in the end, but it goes to a special place in your body to be destroyed. It's called the lymph node. The lymph node is the hell of the body. It's where the defective cells get taken to be destroyed before then they get ejected. So let's look at that. God created us actually too with a covering. As we talked the last time, before man sinned, the covering made him part of the body. He was perfect. That's why the forces of perfection couldn't destroy us, because we were part of the body, because we had the spirit covering. You're smiling, Simone. Okay. Don't have a question? Okay. So that's what made us part of the body. And so the laws of perfection, which are like the white blood cells, didn't do anything to us. But remember what happened when man sinned? Lost the covering. So immediately, we were in danger of being destroyed, because the forces that were there to keep the universe in perfection suddenly saw something that was imperfect, had no covering. Remember what God had told him: the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Because the spirit covering died immediately. And therefore, we were now no longer perfect. And so we should have died. So the forces and laws of God did not operate against humanity as created because we had a spirit covering. And that also applied to Satan. Even Satan was created in perfection. Ezekiel 28:15, thou was perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created till iniquity was found. Satan also had a covering. The Bible tells us that. In the next lesson, we go into his covering and what happened to him. But just to remember, it says, it starts to describe all the things he was covered with. So now, after man sinned, why couldn't God just speak a word and fix it all? Just, okay, you sinned, but I'm God, I can do anything, so it's all back to square one. Why couldn't he just do that? Well, because, Simone? Well, just to repeat her answer, she said because God couldn't lie. Yes, that's part of it. Because when man had sinned, God had already given man dominion. Because God had already given man dominion. This is what people don't realize. But if I have $100 and I give you $10, guess what? I do not have $100 left. God actually gave up something for us. God actually gave up something for us. And this is what a lot of people don't realize, that when he said he was going to give man dominion, he actually gave man dominion. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That's pretty broad, isn't it? So when God said that, he gave his word. He gave dominion over the earth to man. But more than that, he gave dominion over man himself to man. It said over everything that creeps, everything that moves on the earth. So that included man himself. In other words, God was actually limiting himself. He was giving man free will. That's why when he brought the animals to Adam, it says so that he would see what Adam would call. God limited his dominion. He limited himself. And so when he gave dominion, he gave some other things too. He gave dominion of the reproductive process. He said, be fruitful and multiply. So God gave man dominion not just over the earthly creation, but also over the reproductive process. And that's very important. The biological laws that he states in Genesis 1:25 says, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, to show you that he gave man the reproductive process, I'm just going to focus on Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And that word gotten in the Hebrew is kana, and it means to get or to create. Because what happens when a sperm and an ovum get together is the creation of a body. Now, the soul still comes from God. But God had given the reproductive process to man. Now you begin to see why God couldn't just click his, you know, do a bewitched, wiggle his nose, and make it all right. Because if he did that, he would be breaking his word. And remember now, he's exalted his word even above his name. He could not just take it back. If I gave you $100 and I wanted you to have it, and then you go and give it to someone else who I didn't want to have it, I could go and snatch it out of that person's hand, but that would mean that I really never, ever gave you control. You never really had control, because when I said I give it to you, I'm now taking it back. So God had given man dominion, and he could not immediately take it back. So he had to fix the problem in a different way. In fact, in the New English translation of Genesis 4:1, it translated, I have created a man. He gave man dominion. And because he had done that in that way, he couldn't just break his word or else he would not be God. That would be against his very nature. So Adam was created a son of God. And I gave you this scripture last time, Luke 3:38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So man was given sovereignty over creation of the sons of God. Now that may seem strange, but if Adam had not sinned, what would have happened? What was God's plan if Adam and Eve had not sinned? Adam and Eve were special creations of God. They were sons of God. And so if they had continued, their children automatically would have been sons of God. And I'm going to show you that. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. So if Adam and Eve had not lost their spirit covering, whatever had been born of them would also have had a spirit covering, because God had given them the reproductive dominion. In fact, Jesus came to fulfill that first commandment. Look at this, Hebrews. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing what? Many sons unto glory. Where Adam and Eve failed in being able to reproduce sons of God, Jesus, the Son of God, because only a Son of God could do it, came to fulfill that very thing. And by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Aren't you glad that Jesus came and now we can be born again? We have the right to call him Father. So let's just look at that. If they had not sinned, what was God's plan? Adam and Eve would have birthed sons of God, not sons of men. The body and the spirit covering would have come from them, because God had given them dominion. The soul would have still come from the Father, since they had already been created. Remember what I said from the very beginning, God is not creating new souls, or else he could not have rested on the seventh day. Remember it says, I said in before, that in the day, Genesis 5, it says, in the day created he them, male and female. So the soul comes from God. The body and the spirit covering that he had given would have come from men. And that would have been the uniting, and you would have had a body, soul, and spirit, if they had not sinned. And that's why today we have to be what? Born again. So that we can get back to the place where we are a body and a soul and a spirit. Amen. Anyone have any questions? Is that making sense? So the soul is not a new creation. It's not a new creation. Again, John 3:6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. If they had not sinned, they would have been able to do what Jesus now had to come and do, because they failed. Bring many sons to glory. Adam and Eve would have been able to fulfill the biological and the spiritual law of producing after their kind. Do you understand that we're supposed to now produce after our kind? We're supposed to bring many sons to glory. We're supposed to be out there witnessing and reproducing. That's one of the original commandments. Multiply and be fruitful. So let's just summarize that. I'm going to try and bring it all together here. God transferred the sovereignty of procreation to Adam, the Son of God. That included the power of procreating the spirit covering. The soul still comes from God. But the procreation mechanism, creating the vessel, the body, and its spirit covering, were legally deeded to man. And that's why Satan also had to use it. That's why he had to use it. There was no way around it. He had to go through man. So when Adam and Eve sinned, they went from a son of God to just being a son of man. They lost that spirit covering. And they became, as it says in Genesis 6, it speaks of man using a new word, enosh, meaning mortal. Mortal. Because now man was subject to death. Genesis 5:3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness and after his own image. But that image now was just a son of man. And so Seth, instead of being a son of God, was now enosh, a mortal man. Again, why couldn't have God just created another spirit covering? Well, the spirit covering could not be created because the Bible says that God rested. He would have been breaking his word. He could not now create anything out of nothing. He could only do what had already been created. So why could God not have immediately created another spirit covering? The reason is, on the seventh day, he rested. He would have had to start creating out of nothing. So God did something else. He did a temporary thing. Because he had given that power, sovereignty of reproduction to Adam, son of God, he had ceased from new creative work. It was up to his sons to do the creating. He had given them that dominion. Now, the flesh after Adam and Eve sinned was going to die very quickly. So God came up with a temporary covering. Genesis 3:21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. So God was limited by what he could do because of the procreation gift of sovereignty. So he could not now create out of nothing. And the Hebrew word for create out of nothing is bara. And it uses a different word. He could form. So instead of giving them a spirit covering, what he did was he took something that was already existing, an animal, and there was a blood sacrifice. But he could form yatsa or make asa out of existing material. So now, let's look at the heart of this matter. When God came to confront Adam, they were going to die because they had no spirit covering. And I've used this illustration a lot. Somewhere in my wife's closet, we've got all kinds of canned stuff. Corned beef. Some kippers, which she hates because they smell when you open them. And those things can be in there for months, maybe years. You know why? They've got a covering. The moment you cut them open, though, what happens? Starts to decay. You can't leave that in there another week, or else you're going to have a terrible odor issue and flies and all the rest. It could stay there for years and years, as long as the covering was there. But as soon as you remove the covering, it's going to decay. So we see that Adam and Eve were going to die. And what was going to kill them? Remember now, everything had been in perfection. Why? Because the laws of perfection. Every time God created a spiritual law, a biological law, that perfected everything. And that law was there to keep the universe perfect. But now here was something without a covering. So what actually was going to kill the body? The laws of perfection. God didn't create something specially to kill them, but the laws that were there to order the universe were going to destroy them. Just as how I said the white blood cell, as soon as it finds a defective cell, it starts to engulf it, and it takes it away to the place of destruction, the human place of destruction, which is called the lymph node. But God was very, very merciful. Because he stopped something. You see, God had created three laws, physical, biological, and spiritual. And he says, because thou hast done this, let's look at this. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Now, God had created laws of perfection. But in cursing the ground, what is he doing? He is going against his law of perfection. Because when you curse something, what's going to happen? It's going to start to decay and rot. It's going to, instead of being perfect and beautiful, it's going to go the opposite. So in essence, when God cursed the ground, he was suspending the physical law. He was suspending the physical law. And then he speaks about the biological. So in fact, God freezes the physical law of perfection. The moment he said, cursed be the ground, he is suspending the physical law, the thing that kept it perfect. Sorry? John 3:16. When you have a baby and it's sick and defective, then you'll understand. Oh, I should just throw this baby away because it's not perfect. God could have done that, but because he perfectly loves, he had mercy. And the next time I teach this, you'll see that's what Satan was actually counting on. Because what did he say? Thou shalt not surely die. Isn't that what he said? Thou shalt not surely die. So he knew something. And they would have died, both the body, soul, and spirit. The spirit died right away, and God could not fix it right away because he had given them dominion. The only way he could fix it would have been to break his word, start all over again, throw them away. And if you can throw away something that you have created that has come from you, remember, we were made in his image. John 3:16, for God so what? Loved. When you love something, you don't see all of the imperfections. I'm so glad my wife loves me. Because as I've said, I wouldn't love me. I can see all the imperfections. So, yes, God could have probably done that. But it says, God so loved. God so loved. There have been many people who have had children that have been born with deformities, with, and they have loved them even more. Loved them even more. You know, and that's the mercy and grace of God. So God tried to find a way, in essence, to stop his own law from destroying mankind by cursing the physical law. And then he also freezes the biological law. Let me see if this thing is stuck here. Thorns also and thistles. That's biology. So he was freezing also the biological law, but that had a side effect, that had a drawback too. In fact, freezing the physical law had a drawback, because what it meant then is his whole universe was going to start to go back to what it was in Genesis 1:1. By stopping the very laws he'd created that had brought perfection, what it cost God to save us was to let everything start to, as they say, go to hell in a handbasket. The universe started to run down. Thorns and thistles. There were no such things as viruses, bacteria. There was no such thing as even death. So God had to stop his physical law, and he had to freeze his biological law in order to temporarily save mankind. This is out of battery, so... Philip, sorry. No. No, not exactly, no. Remember, there were three sets of laws, right? I said the physical, the biological, and there's one more. The spiritual. He didn't freeze that. Now, if he had also stopped that, then Satan would have gotten away scot-free. His plan would have come through. But he could not do that for that very reason. But it did mean that we were still going to die. It's just now, instead of in that very day, it lasted for Adam's lifespan, 930 years, and for everyone else, several hundred years. We were still going to die. But it gave God a chance to implement a plan of salvation. He said to the serpent, the seed of the woman is going to crush your head. The seed of the woman is going to crush your head. He enabled. Remember, Paul explains this so beautifully in the New Testament. He says that the woman shall be saved in childbearing. The whole human race was saved for the fact that Eve was able to have a child. And through eventually the descendant would come another son of God. Amen. You had a question? Absolutely. Absolutely. He gave them a covering. He gave them a covering. It wasn't the spirit covering. It was a temporary covering. And that's why we have the blood sacrifice. It was just all it was strong enough to do was to temporarily keep the physical body and the blood, the soul, until something else could come. Amen. But he did not freeze the spiritual law. And next week we'll find out. Now, the reason why I'm saying he did it, it looks as if it's a bad thing what he's doing, that it's a punishment. But it was really for our sake. Do you see what he says? because thou hast done this, I'm going to do this, but I'm really doing it for your sake. If I don't do it, you're gonna die today. Because God said the very day you're going to die. And yet they didn't. It's the same Hebrew word, yom, which means one physical day. They didn't die, all of their spirit died that day, but the rest of the body and the soul didn't. And God provided two coverings, one for the body and one for the soul, the skin and the blood. And I've taught that scripture about the atonement, right? That I provided the blood as an atonement for your soul. So he says, I did it for thy sake. So that's the key. So that now death was not going to come instantly. It was still going to come, but now it's going to be because of a lack of perfection. So that, and the whole key was that we would live long enough to reproduce, but not long enough to be used. Remember, God said, lest they stretch forth their hand and eat of the tree of life and now do what? Live forever. But the problem would be, we'd be living forever in a body that we now no longer fully controlled. We'd have been trapped. That's why God said, I've done it for your sake. And I will explain why he didn't do the spiritual law next week. And this is what Romans 8:21 is really explaining. God didn't want to do all of this, but he had no choice. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. The moment he froze the laws of perfection, the universe started to become corrupt. It started to run down. It's called entropy. They lived until 900, and we would have probably still lived until 900. But that was still too long. That was still too long. Satan was able to still use that. And so God had to remove some more of the covering. The Bible said he broke up the fountains of the deep. The water covering that was over the earth collapsed. That's why we don't live as long, because the pressure, the atmospheric pressure on earth was going to be much, much higher than it is now. That means you'd have only had to breathe once a minute. Your heart rate would have been once a minute, because the oxygen, the pressure now is about 14 pounds a square inch. But with that, all that water that was up there, just like Venus, you can't see the surface of Venus because it's covered with a cloud. Before the flood, the earth was covered with a mist. The Bible said it never rained. There was billions and billions of gallons of water floating up there that formed a mist. But that increased, because all that water was up there, that increased the atmospheric pressure. Not only that, it filtered out all of the harmful rays from the sun that today cause people cancer. So when that covering was broken up, if you plot the ages in the Bible that are given, it forms a special curve, a scientific curve. When you start to plot the ages after the flood, it's a special curve that was written 2,000 years ago by Moses. How would he know that curve? It's a special kind of population decay curve that is a mathematical curve that's in the Bible that only can come if it's a population decay like that. So the ages, when they plot them, fall on this curve, which shows that it was because of the covering, the physical covering now that was gone. God had to do that. That's what this scripture is explaining. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation now groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. The other scripture goes on to say that God did not do this willingly, but he did that in the hope. He did that in the hope. I always remember the song that the Winans sang, and I know I bring it up every time. It was not a haphazard scheme, nor a secondary scheme, but the plan of the Lord to redeem. This is not something that God is doing on the fly. I'm a very impulsive person, you know. Don't send me out with money to a shop. Because if I see something I want, and I have the money, I might buy it. But that's not how God operates. He has a long-term view of history. He has a plan so deep that Satan is left spinning at every turn. Every turn, he's outwitted him. Amen. And so that's what Paul was trying to say, that God had to do this for his plan to work. So when he gave man the first covering, man was still living for hundreds of years because this was a Son of God body. The only thing that had gone was the spirit covering. It was still a much superior body till we have today. So it took hundreds of years to die. And on top of the fact that God had provided a covering of the earth. And if you remember what happened in the flood, it says God broke up the fountains of the deep. And it rained. What happened was that he took away the covering that was above. And after that, the ages of man just went completely down. Because right now, there's tons of radiation flowing through your body, even though you don't know it. When we die of old age, it's because at some point our cells, those same things, stop reproducing because the genetics, what they call the DNA at the end, telomeres, get shorter every time they reproduce because of genetic damage. It's like when you take a copy to the copy machine and you keep copying a copy of a copy. You start to see spots appear on it. And then eventually it gets so bad you can't read it. Well, that's what happens with your cells. Your cells, most cells only can make a copy of themselves 7 times. Interesting number. And then some of them are programmed to die. Blood cells are programmed to die. If they don't die, they become cancerous. The ones that don't die, they're programmed. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to tinker with the DNA to see if they can find the switch that stops them dying. But you see, God already deliberately made it that way. Because it's his plan to give us a new body. Amen. Amen. So scientists also admit that the universe is running down. So after the curse, the physical and biological laws of the perfection stopped maintaining order, and the universe is running down. I'm just going to give you 2 articles. Cars run out of petrol, stars run out of fuel, galaxies collapse into black holes. As they do, the universe and everything in it is gradually running down. You know, they just found that out, but it was there in Genesis. The moment God said, cursed is the earth. See, the sun has got hydrogen, and that's what it's burning. But everybody knows it's not going to burn forever. The whole universe is running down. I'm not going to read the whole thing. You can look it up on Wikipedia. They call it the heat death of the universe. And again, if you read through that, you will see that they mention entropy in there, there you go. The universe is moving to maximum chaos, back to where the Bible says it started from, because without the laws of perfection, it will be void, right? It was null and void. So scientists know. Of course, they don't care because it's on such a long time frame. They think. But that's what it cost God to save his children. He had to, again, break his own laws, suspend his own laws, just so as to keep us alive. Amen. So he came up with 2 coverings. The skin, remember before, we were covered with the spirit and the blood for the soul. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement or covering for your souls. The Hebrew word for atonement is kanaf, which means covering. For it's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. The real thing God is interested in is not so much this body. It's your soul. That's what he wants to preserve. The real you is not this body, it's your soul. He only needs this body long enough for you to get saved. And for you to do his will and go and make other sons. You know, there's a lot of animals that as soon as they reproduce, you know what they do? They die. Because they have done what they were created to do. Jesus, in his death, brought more sons to glory. He said, unless I go away, you know, The Spirit was with him, but he says, when I go away, in dying, he's going to bring many sons to glory. I'm going to try and hurry up here because that's what I want to illustrate. So man's problem now was this. Mankind had been given the procreation power, the mechanism of reproduction, the creation of the Spirit covering, actuated by faith. The universe was running down. And God could not keep the laws frozen forever, else he'd be back to where Genesis 1:1 was. God had myriads of unborn souls that would be placed in defective vessels alienated from his perfection. And there was now no source of spiritual perfection in the created universe. It had died when man sinned and before he had had any children. And there was no way to create a covering except by breaking his word and taking back sovereignty. So God was stuck. So he only had one choice. There was only one other source of spiritual covering. And that was with God himself. And the method of reproduction had been given to man, so the only choice God had was to do what? Bring it with him. Come as a man. That was the only choice. He had to come as a man. That's what I'm saying the scripture says. It says two places in Genesis 1, in the day that he created them, male and female. Then in Genesis 5, it says the same thing. I'm saying that when a baby is born, if a soul is being created, then God is not, never did rest. Right? On the seventh day, it said he rested from all his work. So if every time a baby, as soon as Adam and Eve had Seth, that means God would have created out of nothing a soul. So he would not have been in rest. So what I'm saying is that the reason why it's taken so long is that God wanted to put all those souls into bodies so that he could bring them back into union with him. That's why it's taken thousands of years. That's why he doesn't like abortion. It's a soul. Yeah. Right. He created the soul parts, okay? He created the soul parts because it says in the day he created them, plural. So all the souls that I believe, and this isn't salvation, so you don't have to, it's whether you believe this or not is not a salvation issue, but this is what the scripture says. Genesis 5, it says in the day he created them, male and female. That's why in the church, in the spirit, it says you are neither what? Male nor female. Isn't that what it says? When you come to Christ, as far as the souls, we're not, men are not above women as far as the spirit aspects of it. Yes, someone had to be the leader and was put in a body. As far as the physical, yes, men were given the headship because they were created a living soul. That means a soul in a body first. But as far as in the spirit, Paul says in the spirit, there's neither male nor female. We're not above each other in that sense. And so two places in the Bible, it says that in the day he made them male and female. So for creating another spirit covering, God would have either had to break his word or bring it himself, because there was only one other spirit covering, and that was with him. So how was he going to do this? Matthew 17:2, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. So that's what God did. He decided he would bring that covering with him. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. Again, just like what Eve said, I have made a man, made of a woman, made under the law. That means he did it without breaking any of his word. He used the very reproductive sovereignty that he had given man because he found a vessel that was willing to submit to him to return that sovereignty. If Mary had said, I don't want this, I believe God would have found somebody else. If Mary had said, I don't want this, God would have found somebody else. We see that with Saul. When Saul didn't obey, God found somebody else. That's why we should be careful, right? We should always say, Lord, use me. I don't want God to find anyone else. I want to be the son that is obedient. So that is why the woman was used as the mechanism, and the Holy Spirit provided the spirit covering. His death would satisfy the spiritual because it allowed the full imperfections of the sins past, present, and future to rest upon him, and so that his soul would be the sin offering. So now, let me explain, and I thought I had it in this version, but I didn't. When a body gets infected, right, there's hundreds of different types of cells, and the infection starts to break the covering of the cell and get inside, and it starts to multiply, and it takes over the reproduction of the cell. Remember Genesis 6, right? And it starts to produce more like itself. But the way God has done the immune system, there are certain, the cells are so different that sometimes it comes across a cell that it can't take over. That cell is resistant to the infection, but it's only one cell. So the body has to find a way to fight the infection. And what it does is that cell has things what inside of it called antigens that happen to match the infection and be able to resist it. But it's only in the one cell. So the only way the body can eventually defeat the infection is that cell has to give up all the antigens and spread it to all the other cells. So you know how it does it? It dies. It dies, and because of that, the resistance that is in that one cell, the molecules that are able to resist the infection, gets spread to the other cells, and they start to multiply. And because of that, they're eventually able to defeat the virus or the bacteria. So Jesus had to bring the only spiritual covering. And the only way, this explains why he had to die. Because he came a fully formed Son of God with a spirit covering. And this is why he had to die. Because the only way to release that covering once he came was to die, just like the cell. And in dying, he's going to bring many sons to glory. Many sons to glory. Amen. So Isaiah 53 verse 3 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. And it goes on to tell all the things about him. And it goes on in the next slide to say, 2 Corinthians, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that what we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I realize now that I started the wrong version, that this is the shorter one, and I left out a whole bunch of things, but I don't want to keep you too long. But Jesus had to come, and he had to die because he was the only channel God had to bring a spirit covering. And that's why he said, unless I go, the Comforter cannot come. I'm going to send you another Comforter, yet not another. I am with you, but I shall be in you. And in John 17, the Bible says, he said, receive ye the Spirit. And so in dying, the very last thing he said was what? You know the seven words on the cross? What was the last thing he said? Into thy hand I commit my spirit. So he released the Spirit so that we could receive it. Just like a cell that dies to give inoculation against the... So when we receive God's Spirit, that's why the Bible says that you are sealed. You are sealed with the Spirit. So now Satan cannot get to your soul unless you go and break the seal. He cannot get to your soul, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus, you know, it's like the one cell that took all of the virus for us. He placed himself, you know, when you get a cut or an infection, you know what happens? It starts to get inflamed. What's happening is the cells and the white blood cells are trying to fight the infection. And it heats up because it attracts all of the white blood cells to that spot on your, wherever it is. And that's why you get a fever. When you get a fever, what you're experiencing is the battle. It gets hot. So if you're getting hot, it's because you're in a battle. The white blood cells, the spirit is fighting the infection. It gets inflamed. And sometimes the fever gets to the point, you know, you don't feel good. But it means the body is fighting the infection. So Jesus took all of the infection. And because he had a covering, it couldn't do anything to him. But he had to give it to us so that we also could fight this infection called sin. So when he died, it was the cure for the past, present, and future. He took the full force of the laws of perfection. Do you understand that he took all of what was going to be on us and in return gave us the gift of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said unto me, my grace, this is Paul, is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Many years ago, I preached, I taught a lesson. I'm going to teach it again because I've gotten a new insight. A new insight, and I said, those of you who remember, it was called, Who Told You You Were Naked? Who told you you were naked? That was the first thing God asked Adam and Eve, right? He didn't say, did you eat of the tree? He said, who told you you were naked? And part of what, and I don't want to give it away yet, but part of what it comes down to is the devil is always going to put fear into our hearts. Amen. I want to let us know that God doesn't love us, but truly, the fact that he was willing to give up so much, that John 3:16 has come home to me so much more in understanding God's love. John 17:21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and thee also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, the spirit covering, what does he say? I have given them. Do you see that? That's what the Bible says, that the glory that is going to be fully revealed in us. In us. The glory that thou gavest me, what's the glory? It's the spirit covering. I have given them. How? So that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect. And the world may know that thou, and I cut that off, has sent me. Let's stand tonight. I've cut out quite a bit. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Amen. I tried to skim through this because we have about 65 slides, and I cut out quite a bit, maybe too much. But next week, I will try and bring it all together, because remember I said that every creature had a covering. Lucifer had a covering. And he must have sinned before Adam and Eve. Right? Bible says, in Joel it said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Of my spirit. Right? It was the spiritual laws. Remember I said he hadn't suspended them. The spiritual, that's why without a covering, we still are going to die. But it doesn't happen until this covering dies. The spiritual law only comes into effect when there is a naked soul. It governs the soul. That's why Satan can't do much in the spirit world, because the spiritual law is about to kill him too. That's why he has to be in a body. He wants to possess somebody, because that's how he keeps going. He can't stay in the spirit world, in my understanding, for a long time, because he is also subject to the spiritual law. And so, next week I'm going to get into that. What about Lucifer? And I'm going to explain a little bit more about what happened to him. But I hope you can see how much God gave up. Yes, we were a baby that looked defective. But you don't, not if you love that baby. You don't just throw it away. You don't throw it away. He could have thrown us away, but that would not have been his nature. But he found a way to save us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why he had to come. That's why he said in the garden, is there any other way? But only his death, only a Son of God releasing the spirit covering could do it. That's why he had to come and bring a spirit covering. And just like a cell, he had to die in order for us to multiply. That's the verse in Hebrews that he brought many sons to glory. Many sons to glory. I hope this is a difficult lesson to get, and it's very different from what people are used to. And it's not necessary for salvation. You don't have to believe or necessarily understand this. But if you do, it should help your faith. How much God loves us. How much God loves us. Amen. I will be teaching on this a little bit next week. Amen. But I want you to know that God loves you. He has a plan for your life. He doesn't make it up as he goes along. It's not made up. But there's a plan for your life. And if we could just get into the plan of God, if we could just line up with his will and his direction, we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah, the Bible says. More than conquerors. You know, today's Tuesday, and we have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But I'm telling you, if you could try and look at God the way he looks at you, through eyes of love, amen. And I've said so many times, the moment you truly believe that God loves you and he's looking down on you with love and saying, this is my beloved son. And you know, I believe he is well pleased. The fact, not that we are perfect. He knows that. He knows our faults. But he's looking at the finished work. As it says in Romans, he calls those things that are not as though they be. Amen. Let's bow our heads at this time. Lord, we just thank you for your word tonight. Lord, help, oh God, it to edify and help our faith to build, to know that how much you gave up for us. Lord, it was more than just coming to a cross. Jesus, we just thank you right now for all that you have done for us. Help us to reach out in faith and to believe, to trust you, Lord God. Oh, Father, we just thank you right now that your love covers a multitude of sin. Lord God, that you are saying to us, who told you that you are naked? I love you. I cover you right now. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we just thank you for seating us in heavenly places. Lord, let your Holy Spirit continue to surround us as we go. Oh, God, help us to be overcomers this week. Help us to birth many sons to glory. Help us to be witnesses. Hallelujah. We thank you right now, Jesus, for all you're doing. Hallelujah. We lift up your name and we give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you could clap your hands, give God a praise offering.